Say amen. Jeremiah 18 and 1 says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise," somebody say arise, "go down to the potter's house. There I will cause thee to hear the gossiper's words. Then I went down to the potter's house. Behold," nobody caught that? Let's read that again. "Arise and go down to the potter's house. There I will cause thee to hear," say it with a loud voice, "my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was perfect in the hand of the potter." Help me out here. "It was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again another." Somebody say he did it again. "And it seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel." And then going quickly to Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8, the word of the Lord says, "Behold, or but now, O Lord, thou art our Father." You know that He's your heavenly Father? "And we are the clay, and thou our potter. And we all," somebody say everybody, "are the work of thy hand." I want to talk to you this morning on this thought. Just like clay. Just like clay. Now, would you help me pray right now? Would you lift your voices to the Lord? I know you got your Bibles in your hand, but would you lift your voices? Come on, I need the help of the Holy Ghost. I could preach this by myself, but it's a whole lot easier, a little shorter when we get together in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, that's it. Intercessors, leadership, prayer team. There we go. That's it. Thank you, Sister Walker. Come on. Come on, that's it. Lift your voices. Lift your voices. Jesus, we love you. We love you. We pray right now, God. Help our hearts to be open or be receptive, oh God. To be mindful, God, of your Spirit, what it's doing, God, in this place. We thank you this morning, oh God. As you're seated, tell your neighbor, just like clay. Amen. Clay is a natural earthly material. It's earth, mud, earth especially as regarded from material that the human body was formed. Clay and earth is flesh, represented as flesh or man, humanity, us as people. You read in the scripture, marred means to be disfigured or defaced, to have some spoiling to a certain extent, damaging, it's rendered less perfect. Here in our scripture text, Jeremiah was given the instruction to go down to the potter's house, the house where the vessels were made, going down to where the potter would work his craft to create things that can be used. The potter's house was a place of creation and recreation. The potter's house was a place of work. The potter's house represented where the creator would work with something and make it to be something useful, no matter the value of it. Here Jeremiah would see the potter working with clay on the wheel. It's the original example of Jeremiah seeing an object lesson. Object lessons are good as long as you're not the subject of the object lesson. I'll say that again. Object lessons are good. It depends on what side of the object lesson you're on. And as a potter had a wheel, he used it to form and shape the clay that he was working with. The wheel may be used during the process of trimming or spinning the wheel as defined by the potter. The potter has complete, notice this, control of the piece of the wheel. And as the potter is spinning the wheel, the clay is in the hands of the potter, and the potter uses the spinning of the wheel to shape the clay. Now it's something that I was in high school a long time ago, 1996. Is when I graduated from high school. Now I'm certain, in fact, I know one in here today, you were born in 1996. You were born in 1996. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Amen. Sister Savannah was born when I was in high school and graduating from high school. Worst case than that. And I took ceramics, believe it or not, as a junior. I took ceramics and I am not artistic or creative in nature. That's why Brother Josh Hanks and Brother Tony and Brother Angel and Sister Victoria are on my team. And they help Pastor with his creativity. But this is clay. This is just a lump of clay right here. And it is 10 pounds of clay. And this is the real deal. It is earth colored. Or flesh colored, or brown, or dirt colored. I don't even know what color this is. But it is clay. I know it's not red. Hey, maybe it has some red. It's not green. It's not yellow, but it's clay. And, I'll let you define what you would call it, a square block of clay or whatever, but it's clay. And I want you to understand that this is a lot of times how we start out.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
This is a piece of tile, which is clay, and it says, Dad's drink only on it. Michaela made this for me as a gift, and this is, I know for sure, a clay pot, and, it is a 4-inch clay pot, and then this is, something to bake with, and it's got fancy designs, but we have completed projects. We have one that's not so fancy. We have one that has multiple uses. And then we have one that we would all prefer to have a cake in there, maybe. But we have things that we could understand in our life that are clay in nature, things that we have maybe in the cupboard, or maybe you have a piece of tile. Maybe you have tile in your home and you walk on it, and maybe it's in your shower and you don't realize how valuable that clay was. And so my daughter made me this tile, and it's what you would call a coaster. And so I'm able to put my drink on there, and she likes to make things, and she brought this home and she says, Dad, this is for you. So I look at it, and to be honest, I've only used it maybe once or twice. It stayed in the drawer as a lot more than I've used it. And but she made that for me. She made this. She actually didn't make the clay or the tile. She painted it. She went somewhere and somebody else made this tile, but she painted it and brought it to me and gave it to me as a gift. And if you go into my office, you'll know that there's other work of art in there. There's something that she made, that it was made out of a square block with a nylon stocking and a coat hanger. And it's a piece of art, and it's painted, and I have it in there because she gave it to me for my office, but it's also a great conversation piece. It's also something to look at, and it reminds me of my daughter and her love for me, and she made something for me, and I display that. And so it's something that my daughter, as the creator, made with she was intentional and had a purpose for making what she did for me as her father. Now let's get this idea firmly in our mind, because the Bible talks that way about us with Him, that He has an intended purpose for us. God is the master artist of our life. He is the creator of all things. And so the artist finds satisfaction in whatever it is that he's creating, or whatever it is that he is making. Jeremiah and Isaiah use the image of God as the master potter, and we are the malleable piece of clay that is being formed and made into something beautiful that has a purpose and a will according to the plan of God. God created man. In Genesis, we read the creation of man for an intended purpose. Notice this in Genesis 1 and 27. So God created man in His image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female created He them. In Genesis 1 and 28, and it says, and God blessed them.
Yeah.
God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the flesh, over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air. And notice this, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. It's very simplistic here this morning, saints. We are a blessed people. We are a people of God that have been blessed. He says, I've called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, that you should show forth, be a people that would give Him praise. You were a people that didn't have mercy before, but now you have mercy. You were a people that didn't have the Holy Ghost and weren't baptized in Jesus' name. But today, you're a people of God that are filled with the Spirit and baptized in His name. Psalms 34 and 8 says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in Him. The blessings come. Notice this. When we begin to trust the Lord with every area of our lives. Not just a portion. Not just on Sundays. Not just on a 1 hour a week. Not just when your name is on the schedule and you got, oh, well, I better pray today because I got to be on the platform. So I better pray. I better dress holy. I better get my act together for this week because I'm on the schedule. And then Monday I can go back to my own carnal and sinful ways. No, that is not a blessed life. That is a life headed in the wrong direction. Saints of God, we don't want to be headed in the wrong direction. We need to be headed in the right direction. We're just like clay in the hands of the potter. We got to just let go and let God form us. Yeah. We're the clay in His hands. Notice what the psalmist says in Psalm 103. It is He that had made us and not we ourselves. Just like clay. Somebody say, just like clay. Psalmist tells us in Psalm 139 and 13, it says that Thou hast possess my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I'll praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works. You know, most of you, if you noticed this morning, I'm preaching with the Bible. First time I'm preaching with this Bible. This is right now. The Bible is my favorite. But this particular Bible right now, at this present time, is my newest Bible. And right now, at this particular time, it's my most favorite Bible. It's a wonderful study Bible. There's only 1,000 of these made in the world. And I have number 470 of it. Yeah. I bought it for myself. And it's a study Bible. It's an apostolic Pentecostal Bible. It's one of the Bibles that some folks that you know put a lot of time and effort in. And developing this Bible, brand new, it just came out. And recently, it came out this couple months ago, finally finished. It took 5 years to put together. And blue goat leather, and it's got four tassels, different colors. And but it's an authentic of only 1,000 of these made. And I have 470 of it. Number 47 is pretty cool. But you know, of all the people in the world, you're the original you. Amen. Yeah. Nobody else like you. Now, there may be some imitators, right? There may be some lookalikes. There may be some counterfeits, right? But nobody has your fingerprint. Literally. You're the only one with your fingerprint. You're the original you. I know we joke about you're kind of special. Well, you are kind of special. There's nobody else like you. Think about that. The Lord broke the mold when He made you, right? Yeah, in more ways than one, right? It's your that you're special. You're of all the 7 billion people in the world, there's nobody like you. You're experiencing history right now. Well, why do you say that, Pat? Well, because you're in a place and time that's never happened before. And breathing right now. Every second is a new opportunity. It's something that's never took place before. We're just like clay in the hands of the potter. Now, we can look at it and go throughout the day and say, well, that's kind of cool, Pastor. I know, I understand what you say. I hear you, but I'm not listening to what you say. Well, you know what? The Lord is forming us to be something that He is intending us to be. And we can either fight the process or we can just go with the process and begin to work in the hand. Let God begin to work with us and not have to repeat some things over and over and over again. It's the same. It may be a new year, but is it still the same you and the same problems and the same situations, but just different people and circumstances? Or you say, you know what, Pastor, I'm going to make some changes. I'm going to let God work in me and create me to be something that He needs me to be. I don't want to be who I think I need to be, but I want to be who God wants me to be and who God needs me to be. Now, I need some help. Sister Savannah, you come help Pastor up here, please. Thank you. And so we know that this is, it's 10 pounds of clay. I mean, this is, you give me some latitude here. Come up here, sis. But I mean, you mind touching that and putting your finger? Just, it's hard, huh? It's not easy, right? Brother Manuel Delgado, I know you're dying to come up here. Come up here. Hurry. You gotta hurry. This is, come on, hurry up. Now put your hands on there. It matches what you're wearing. Is that hard? That's hard, huh?
No, soft.
It's soft. Okay. You can sit down. Thank you, Sister Savannah. Now notice this. But brother Ronnie, why don't you come help Pastor right here? It takes some work to squish this down. Hurry, let's hurry. It takes some work. Now just kind of keep working on that. I want you to make it into a ball. Can you make that into a ball? It takes some work to squeeze that and to press on that. It takes time. It's effort and energy, and it's not very fun. And you may have to talk to Dr. Walker later about carpal tunnel syndrome because you're having a hard time. Thank you, Brother Ronnie. But it's now it looks kind of worse than what it was. At least before it was in a nice square, right? At least it was square. I don't know if it fit in the box or not, but that's a lot of times what we do is we have a way where the Lord says I want you this way, and that's how I formed you, and then you try to put your circumstances back into the box, and the Lord says it don't fit because you're trying to put something in a place where it doesn't fit. You were not made to live in sin. You were not made to live in the world, and some of you were not made to be the things that you're going through. But the Lord is forming you and saying, you know what, you're a little bit hard headed. You're a little bit stubborn. You're a little bit rebellious. You're a little bit of a troublemaker. You're a little bit careless. And I got something that I need to form in you. I need to work out of you. I need to shape. I need to mold you so you can have an intended purpose. Maybe you're going to be used to go in the oven to make a cake. And maybe you're going to be used to give life to fruit and to vegetables and have something that God's going to do that's going to feed somebody. Or maybe you're just going to be a piece of tile that people are going to walk on.
Uh-oh.
Does the tile ever complain when somebody walks on it in the foyer? Part of our purpose is to be fruitful.
Amen.
Fruitful means that we bear fruit. We grow and we increase. Jesus said in John 15:4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Notice this. The source of our growth comes from the Lord. The position of growth comes from the process of time and placement. We've been steadfast. Notice this. In the process of time and in the placement where God has positioned us so we can be what He has intended us to be. But an apple tree cannot produce grapes, and neither can grapes produce apples, and olives cannot produce lemons, and lemons cannot produce olives. But when God puts whatever it is in us besides His Spirit, He's given some of us gifts and talents and abilities and insights and creativity. He's looking and saying, I need you to be who I've called you to be. And some of us, God has made you, and don't know, I'm going to get offended, but God has positioned you as a lemon, and you're crying because you're not an orange. Can I tell you, lemonade and lemons have a purpose, just like an orange and orange juice has a purpose. And don't fight the process. Don't fight the circumstances. Don't fight the Creator. He knows what He's doing. He knows what He's working with. He knows what kind of flesh, what kind of clay. He knows your intents and your heart. and your mind.
Yes.
Some of us, we want to be a cake pot. Others want to be a ceramic pot for flowers. But God all has a position,
right,
and a purpose for all of us. Thank you. Just like clay cannot create itself.
Right. You cannot.
Clay cannot mold itself. Clay cannot produce anything except by the hands of the potter. And just like clay, we are in the hands of the potter.
Right.
And God is working and will work in us and through us if we let Him. Part of letting Him is to fight, is not fight the process of what He is trying to do. I mean, clay and earth has a way of having imperfections and other things that they attach itself to it. Clay and earth has things that will attach itself to it. There's things that will contaminate this. And I appreciate, and I'm using this, and I could have brought a towel, and I wanted to bring a towel, but I knew exactly what was going to happen, and I have a handkerchief in my pocket. But I knew that I did this. People were going to bring me things to wipe my hands because they were concerned about their pastor, and I understand their intent, and I appreciate it, and it's right, but it was actually you're helping me with my message this morning, because these things have fuzzies on it, and it has things on it that's going to contaminate this whatever it is, because I'm the creator, and I got clay, and I got a purpose, and I don't want anything to mess up the authenticity of what I'm creating it to be, so it gets in there, and there's a lot of us, God has created us to be something pure, and you got a lot of imperfections that you are allowing into your life. It's different if it comes your way, but some of you are going out to seek it and say, you know what, I want what they have, I need what they got, and you're starting to covet things, you're starting to play with sin, and you're wrestling with your holiness, and you're saying, well, if they can do it and they can get away with it, maybe I can do it and I can get away with it. No, you're just like clay in the hands of the potter. He has called you to be holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation. I don't care if it's on social media and your phone, you be holy in all manner of conversation, because we're just like clay.
Amen. Good.
Some of us talk too much, and what if we didn't have a tongue? And the Lord says, you know what, I'd rather you be saved and your mouth gets you in more trouble. I'm going to wipe out your talk. Well, how many want to go to heaven?
Amen.
I mean, how many really, 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 really want to go to heaven?
Amen.
Would you rather go to heaven without a tongue or go to hell with a full body? Come on, somebody. Let's be real. And God is forming us and saying, you know what? You pray that you want to get to heaven. You're talking about getting to heaven. Pastor's preaching about getting to heaven. But you got some imperfections in your life. And I need to separate you from the rest of society or the rest of your family right now. I got to separate you from the things that have been bogging you down. Because I need to make you and mold you into something that you need to be. Because you got an intended purpose. I got a plan for your life, and it's hard and it's rough. You don't understand the process. Pastor, why are you confronting me this thing? Because I tell you, if I don't confront you, who's going to confront you with whatever it is you're dealing with? Just think about David. David, a man after God's own heart, the psalmist, the minstrel, the magnificent king. He was confronted by the man of God.
Yeah.
And when confronted, he humbled himself. And he wrote a beautiful psalm. And we quote it so often. The 51st psalm. But he was confronted by his sins.
Yeah.
And he reacted. And he responded with the spirit of humility. With the spirit of meekness.
Yeah.
He didn't point the finger and make excuses. After all, he was the king. He could have killed the prophet Nathan, because that's what Saul did. Saul tried to shut up the voice of truth. But David, when the prophet Nathan said, thou art the man, you've conspired, you're in adultery, you're in big trouble, he said, you're the man. And David began to repent. David began to call out to the Lord when he was confronted about his sin.
Right.
What if he was never confronted? What if you were never confronted about your sins? What if you were never confronted about some of the paths that you're taking or the decisions that you're making, either by God, His Word, or His man? What if you were never confronted? You could be headed in the wrong direction on the right road and still be lost. You ever been on the right road but be going in the wrong direction and end up somewhere? You're lost. Lost is lost. We're just like clay in the hands of the potter. He's called us. Think about this. Psalm 103 and 14 says, "For He knoweth our frame. He remembereth, Sister Savannah, that we are dust, clay, in the hands of the potter." Genesis 2 and 7 says, "And God formed man from the dust of the earth. Then He breathed into man. And man became a living soul." God's filled us with the Holy Ghost, His Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of God living and residing in us. And when you're filled with the Spirit, you're walking in Holy Ghost demonstration, anointing, and dominion. But when you're walking around and you're not filled with the Spirit of the Lord, you will be left up to fleshly desires and fleshly ways and make decisions that are fleshly in nature. And God's breath is here this morning. The Spirit of the Lord is moving and reminding us that we got to abide in Him. We got to stay in Him so we can bear fruit. Just like John 15 and 2 says, talks about the process of purging. It's cleansing. It's pruning. Everyone here, myself included, needs a good purging or pruning.
Amen.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to be transparent. I have one pastor, but I have an elder and a bishop. I basically have three pastors or three men that I'm submitted to. How would you like to have that? Yeah. How would you like that? But we can all get caught up in the busyness of the day and we fail to go to church or pray or have our devotion or be thankful. We can fail to be thankful. You fail to put God first. To love our neighbor, or something Brother Drozic so ably taught us a couple weeks back, or just being kind.
Yeah.
God has an intended purpose for each one of us. God has an intended process for each one of us to form us, to be used, and and He's using people, places, and things to help us grow. You know, growth is not all about becoming something.
Right.
Growth is also about not becoming something.
Right.
How about not becoming one-dimensional?
Right.
How about not just growing or being formed as a vessel that is limited and is only available for a particular season? You can't get certain foods or fruit or clothing in the stores because they're only available during certain seasons. We are to bear fruit at all time.
Yeah.
Not just be trees with leaves. We need to be bearing fruit. And God is using people, places, and things. He's using His Word. He's using the pastor. He's putting us through circumstances and situations that are forming us to be who He's called us to be.
Right.
And we can say, "Well, Lord, I don't want to be a coaster. I don't want to just be a piece of tile that somebody puts a Coke on or a Perrier on or a Pellegrino on. I don't want to be that. I want to be something that's big and magnificent." Mr. Pinero's going to kill me. "And magnificent. That's got a stain now on this that we can make a cake with, and it makes people happy when we walk into the office and there's all this chocolate cake with chocolate frosting on there, and everybody's happy because I brought a cake. Who wants this pot here, you know, where it's not really, unless you're into plants, you know, you it's not much use for it. And this, you know, Pastor, I'll just put it on the table. I don't need that." But God is forming us to be who He's called us to be. And some of us are fighting the process. Some of us are fighting. You're looking at God and say, "God, you know what? I'm okay right where I'm at. I'm okay with what I'm going through." That's what basically Jeremiah was dealing with. In fact, when you look at the scripture in Jeremiah 18, right about verse 12, I did not give that to Sister Victoria, but right about verse 12, there's this dialogue, and they're saying, well, we're just going to continue to do what we're doing. It's Jeremiah 18 and 12. He says, the devices, notice this. And they said, there's no hope, but we will walk after our own device. And we will, everyone, do the imagination of our evil heart. Yeah. The Lord is taking Jeremiah down to the potter's house. Said, look at the clay. Look at the potter. He's forming. The clay was marred. It means that there was imperfections in the clay. And so he just kept working with that same piece of clay and just kept working with it. He didn't throw it away. There's no throwaways in this church. There's no throwaway people when it comes to the Lord. There's a purpose and a place, and there's opportunity for all of us in the kingdom of God. But God is working and saying, you know what? You've been on the shelf way too long. You've gotten off the potter's wheel, and you put your own self on the shelf because you thought you were done. And the Lord says, nah, you're not ready for the shelf yet. I still need you on the potter's wheel because there's some things I need to work in you, and there's some things I need to work out of you. It's through the pressing and the squeezing and the spinning and the time that it can only be done through the potter's hands. There's some things that can only be done through the hand of God, through the Spirit of the Lord, through prayer and consecration. There's only some things that God can only do. But are we fighting the process? Are we fighting the system? Are we looking at Lord and saying, nah. The Lord says, okay, well, you're going to go through that again. Because you've been praying, I want to be saved. You've tapped Pastor on the shoulder and said, Pastor, don't let me go to hell. And you wonder why you keep going through the same thing over and over and over again. It's because I've been praying for you and saying, Lord, whatever it takes, Lord, keep her up at night, Lord. Take away the overtime, God. Take away the school schedule, God. You remove that person from them, Lord. I'll pray some things out of here in order to keep you safe, baby, because we're just like clay in the hands of the potter. Pastor, that's not cool. You mean, because I could use that extra money. I need that class to graduate. No, you don't need it. You need to be in an altar. You need to be saved is what you need.
Right.
Amen.
So he works things out of us and he works things in us to guide us. He uses his word. He uses ministries. He uses the pastor to preach, to teach, to instruct, to convict, to challenge, to edify, and even rebuke the clay or the flesh.
Yeah.
So he can guide us and mold us and to shape us to become the vessel He is needing us to be. This is a remarkable church. You are wonderful, wonderful people. I'm so happy, especially on Wednesday nights, and we have Bible study, that I would say 2/3 of you have your Bible or bring your Bible, maybe even 90% of you. It's awesome. But I have this question for you. Everybody take a deep breath. Is the only time you read your Bible is when you come to church? Just it's rhetorical. Without preaching is the only time we have any exposure to God is when we come to church just like clay.
Yeah.
In the hands of the potter. The spirit is willing. The flesh is weak. It's part of the process. Romans 6 and 12 says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey it. Notice this. In the lust thereof. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Lying has no place in the life of a believer.
That's right.
Fornicating has no place in the life of the believer. Gossip and sowing discord and hating on one another has no life in the place, and has no place in the life of a believer. These are all the works of the flesh, and God is working that out of us, and He's working in kindness. In love, in peace. I need to get rid of the anger out of this person. So I'm going to put them in a situation where the scripture says, be angry and sin not. And that way they can learn about meekness. So I can form them to be what they need to be. I'm going to work out all talkness out of them. And I'm going to put them in a situation that they can learn what faithfulness is. And I'm going to put that in them. I'm going to take away that overtime and I'm going to remember to teach them what it is to be thankful and have stewardship of paying tithes and offering, being thankful for what you have, because it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And I want them to be saved. I need them to be saved. Amen. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh.
Yeah.
And spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Teaching, the preaching is not always fun. But the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. We need the preaching of the Word of God. We need the teaching of the Word of God. We got to have a daily devotion of Scripture in our life in prayer, and we got to do it. It's what's gonna save us. It's spinning on the wheel. A lot of times it's a place of teaching. It's a place of forming, and we need to stay on the wheel of the potter. It's the constant pressing, the constant spinning. The potter decides the speed of the spin.
Right.
He's working it out.
Yes.
Working immodesty out. Working jealousy out. Come on, somebody. We're just like clay, the Scripture says. And we all are the work of thy hand.
That's right.
Some of us today haven't been living for God the way we know we should and we ought to. But we've prayed, and parents have prayed, and church has prayed, and grandparents have prayed, and your husband has prayed and said, you know, I need to get them to church, and you're in church, and you're saying, well, pastor, it seems every time I come, I leave with conviction. That's right, because you're being confronted with the Word of God, and we want you to be saved. We don't want you to be on the shelf and walk and be looked at and say there was potential, and you're on the shelf, but they got off the potter's wheel too soon, because they're there, but they're not being formed into what God has for them. Can I tell you, get back in the church, stay reconnected, stay connected, become submitted, fight through the frustration, the conflicts of the deceitfulness of sin. Your way is not better than God's way.
Right.
Our way will always be limited. His way is unlimited.
Right.
The clay doesn't form itself. It's not self-sufficient on its own. We're just like clay.
Amen.
We need the potter, and we need the wheel.
Amen.
The clay doesn't tell the potter what to do. Come on, somebody. Romans 9:20 says, nay, but O man, shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hast not the potter power over the clay? Doesn't God have all sovereignty to do with us what he needs to do to be us, to be who he needs us to become? Come on, somebody. God is the author of our faith. He's also the finisher of our faith. We are the clay, and thou art the potter. And we all are the work of thy hand. What are you going to allow God to do with your life? There are things that need to be added to us, and there are things that need to be taken away from us, to be the complete vessel that he's intended us to be.
Yes.
Sometimes a potter has to add water to the clay to soften it and to make it pliable. Sometimes he adds more clay to the lump. Sometimes he tears apart clay, removes clay from the lump. He uses his tools to pinch the clay. Anybody take pottery or ceramics in school or go through that? He uses tools to add character to the vessel, to create and add design. A coffee cup needs a handle, or a teacup needs a handle so you can hold your pinky up when you're drinking tea. It needs a handle, but a vase needs to be big enough and wide enough so when you buy your wife 2 dozen roses, you shouldn't be buying 1 dozen. When you buy her 2 dozen roses, it has plenty of room, and it could be placed on the shelf and then on the right spot. And so all of these take different levels of speed and time and resources to shape. And God is calling some of us, and He's pulling some of us, and He's pressing some of us. And you're saying, man, I've been on the potter's wheel a long time. You're going to be on the potter's wheel as long as you stay on the potter's wheel and you're spinning and you're in the hands of the potter. It's going to be okay. You got to remember that God is the creator of all things, and He knows what He's doing, and He's working all things out for our good to those that love Him. But just like the clay in the hands of the potter, we've got to stay in His hands. We got to stay under the care of His hands. The vessel of the clay was marred in the hands of the potter. There was some damage, but the potter still worked with what he had. The Lord is working in us, and He understands that we have some imperfections. He understands that some of us have some fears and some anxieties and some things that's going to take time to work out of us and work some things in us. But God is shaping us, and God is molding us, and he because we're going to be a valuable vessel that He's going to use. We are all a real life object lesson. Yeah. Hopefully it's all for the testimony of the glory of the Lord.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. We're all a work in progress. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
But notice this. Philippians 1 and 6 says, be confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. He's going to finish what He started if we let Him.
Amen.
The vessel is then put into a kiln, a firing kiln.
Yep.
The kiln is a place of heat and fire. Sometimes you're going to have to go through the fire. Think about that. If He takes you to the fire, He'll keep you through the fire.
Amen.
Can somebody testify and get an amen and say, Pastor, you're right. Notice this. The musicians would come. A kiln hardened ceramic using a process that was invented thousands of years ago. Clay, when heated properly, becomes hard enough to form tiles and vessels. Glazed over the clay become permanent directions. Notice this. Ceramic work is typically placed in the kiln twice. Oh, sometimes you go through trial after trial.
Yeah.
It makes you tougher. As the temperature in the kiln rises, many changes take place in the clay. It burns out. There's this big word, and it's basically materials that are not conducive to the process of sustainability of the clay. You cannot finish the vessel until it goes through the kiln or through the fire and comes out.
Yeah. That's right.
Think about that. Reach into the fire and pull it out before it's done. Right? It's like getting those cookies that aren't all the way cooked yet. Once it comes out of the fire, then you can decorate it or paint it. Then you can use it. We're just like clay in the hands of the Lord. Going through the fires of life. Going through the testings. Through the trials. Come on, somebody. Through the tribulations. This is not original, but I love it, and I think about it often. You can burn now with the fire of the Holy Ghost, or you can burn later in a place with wailing and gnashing of teeth for all eternity. 1 Peter 1 and 7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious, look at this, you're much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried in the fire. Your faith will be like gold that has been tested in a fire, and these trials will prove that your faith is worth much more than gold that can be destroyed. As we stand this morning, a plan is unfolding in all of our lives. The God of all creation is the master artist, and He's shaping us, forming us. Thank you, Sister Julie. And He's molding us to be what He wants us to be, what He needs us to be.
Yeah.
Not who we think we ought to be, or this image of I'm going to recreate myself. Do we know more than the Creator? We're all the works of His hand.
Right.
You're the original you, and He made you. There's only one like you. Do we know more and better than God? He's got it all figured out.
Yes, He does.
He knows where we're headed. He gives us free will. Maybe the Lord has been talking to you about submission. Maybe He's been talking to you this morning about repentance or forgiveness. Maybe He's been talking to you this morning about loving your neighbor. Maybe He's been talking to you this morning about your anointing that you walked away from. Well, Pastor, it was this, it was that. Well, you walked away. Well, maybe He's calling all of us to a deeper level of consecration. There's purpose in your pain.
Yeah.
When you're in the hands of the potter. When you're in His hands, there's purpose for your pain. Can't use a half cup or a half vessel? Is your purpose clouded by the thoughts that, well, I could do better. I know better than the potter what to do with. No, we're not that good. We're just like clay in the hands of the potter. What are we going to let the Lord do with us? As the altars would come open and you would come and they begin to minister in song. I'm going to go wash my hands and I'll come back and pray with you and for you. Would you come around the altar and begin to pray that God would allow us to stay on the potter's wheel? Come on, would you submit yourself unto God? Would you pray this morning that you would understand your purpose? Would you pray this morning that God would help you endure the pain you're going through? You might not understand the pain, but come on, saints of God, visitors, moms and dads, grandparents, leadership. Come on.
So I could be free.
Jesus.
So I could be whole. So I could tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth.
There's a process. The hands of the potter.
So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life. So I could be free. So I could be whole. So I could tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving. Worth keeping. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed.